And if you want to press stop, thank you. Yes.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for coming. My name is David Engel. I was a principal in Montreal and Toronto for 23 years. Now I'm working in the consortium of Jewish day schools. I'm a consultant. I train rabbeim and principals, and I make school visitations to see what I can do to help. I'm just reminding you that you're supposed to fill out an evaluation form that's in your registration packet, and you can put it in one of the boxes outside at the end of session 3. I was a Rebbe for 13 years, and I realized that in our profession, once you start getting older, you get white hair, people say, you know, you're getting burnt out, you're losing it. So I decided to become a young menahal. And then this past year I decided, okay, I want people to say that I'm burnt out being menahal, so I became a consultant. Our discussion today is about how to keep control of your class without being punitive. Does anybody here have any children in their class that give them a hard time? Raise your hand. Some people didn't raise their hand. I don't know. I never heard of a class where that didn't happen. And let's face it, when you're teaching, I just heard a story last night. Someone told me a story that a boy in the class was misbehaving or whatever, and the Rebbe embarrassed him in public. The Rebbe embarrassed him. And the kid got so embarrassed that he ran out of the classroom and ran straight home and went to his room. And 3 days later, he wouldn't come out of his room. It wasn't just a momentary setback. And with the passage of time, it became apparent that this child was not going to recover. So they had to institutionalize him. They had to put him in the institution. Now, I'm not saying that the Rebbe's action of embarrassing him was the key cause of him having to go to the institution. I'm sure there were other factors also. A terrible thing, and of course the family didn't tell anybody. They told people he went to learn Eretz Yisrael. He was there for 15 years. 15 years. One day, a chaver of his, a classmate of his, happened to be there because he was losing somebody else there, and he sees this old classmate of his. He says, "What are you doing here? I thought you were Eretz Yisrael." He says, "What do you mean? I've been here for 15 years. I don't know what they told you. I've been here for 15 years." And they started talking, and he said, "I'm never going to be Meichel that Rebbe as long as I live for what he did to me." Anyway, the Talmud realized that it's a serious thing here. So he contacted the Rebbe, and the Rebbe wanted to make amends. So he went to the boy in the institution. And he asked him, he begged the Mechila, "Please, I'm so sorry for what I did, I was wrong." And he said, "The only way I'm going to be Mechila you is if you do the Mechila like you did the embarrassing. I want the whole class there. You have to get the whole class to come. I don't care where they are, where they live, you have to get the whole class to come. And then I'll be Mechila you." So this Talmud was helping his former Rebbe, and he was trying to track down the 25 boys. Two of them, unfortunately, were no longer alive. And 22 of them lived mamash Abakanfis Aris, four corners of the earth. This is about 40 years ago, by the way. So they started making calculations, and they figured out it would cost the Rebbe $25,000 to fly the whole class in to ask Bechira. So the Rebbe was having money problems as it was. $25,000. He went to ask for Moshe Feinstein what to do. He said, well, do I have to do this? I asked Mechili. He said no. I asked him three times. He said no. The Moshe said, let me ask you a question. Let's say you were Moshe uncharacteristically very upset. He banged his fist on the table and he said, let me ask you a question. If you were driving your car and Chas V'Shalom, you hit somebody and the guy sued you and you had to go to court, and the guy was suing you for $1 million, and you hired a lawyer for $50,000 and you win the case, wouldn't you be ecstatic? This is a lot more than $1 million. And Moshe told him to do it. So this is, we get upset sometimes. You know, we're having trouble, things are going on in our life, and a kid's misbehaving. And sometimes we let them have it. And let's not go that far. We have a very, very interesting job, very, very gratifying job, but it also comes with difficulty and challenges. So, wouldn't it be easy to develop a system in the class where if anybody, you know, opens their mouth, boom, they get a punishment. Anybody does something good, they get a reward. Anybody employ that system in their class? You don't have to say if you do or not, but there are a lot of people, a lot of teachers, a lot of morals, a lot of fame that figured out, why should I spend my time disciplining in the class? I don't need to do that. If a kid misbehaves, I'll give him a punishment. If he behaves and does well, I'll give him a prize. Or I'll come in very tough, and I'll make sure that these kids know who's boss. And I'm not going to have any problems. A Rebbe called me. It's a Rebbe in Las Vegas. Called me and he said, you know, I'm an easygoing guy. And I don't really have control of my class. I'm teaching seventh grade. I don't have control. I was speaking to a chaver of mine, he said, in the school. And this guy here, the kids walk in. They sit like little angels in his class. Little populace in his class. So I asked him, what's the secret? He says, it's very simple. You got to toughen up. So when I see, for example, I see a child reading a book in class, as kids are wont to do, and I say to the kid, hey, what are you doing? And the kid says, what? Why do you say what? Because he's formulating a response. I says, what? And the baby says, you think I'm stupid? You know what you're doing. Put away that book now. And he basically instills fear in the boys. And lo and behold, they do what he wants. Maybe that's the way to go. Maybe let's be tough. Let's not let anything go. And we'll run our class. We'll be able to teach. That's not what chinuch is. What is the definition of chinuch? Anybody want to share what their definition of chinuch is? Okay, come on, we're getting warmed up, come on. Someone can raise your hand, come on. Who wants to share with you? Yeah, you raise your hand?
Oh, no. Oh.
Okay, who wants to share? Come on, boy side. Ladies, we're in chinuch for years. What is your definition of chinuch? Tough crowd. Okay. So, there's a book that... Okay, go ahead. Thank you.
Training children to be Yirei Shemayim and mentions.
So you're saying chinuch comes from the word train? Yeah. Or train to be Yirei Shemayim?
And okay. Mentions helping them grow up.
Okay. So if I want to I want to train my children to be Yirei Shemayim, you say that Chazal say Yehi Meir Rabcha K'Meir Shemayim. So let me instill fear in these kids that they should be afraid of me, They're going to do what I say, they're going to learn, and then they're going to have Yerushalayim. Does that make sense?
Shallow Yerushalayim.
Why? Why is it shallow Yerushalayim?
Because they didn't say that.
What's that?
Fear of punishment.
Okay, you know, not all of us are on that madriga, on that level that we can say we can serve Hashem out, right? And we're talking about kids after all. So let's, yeah.
To guide the children along the path to grow to be Yid.
Guide the children along the path to?
Be a Yid.
To be a Yid, okay, okay, yeah, yeah, okay, okay. Yeah, we're getting there, okay. So there's a book, there's actually two books I want to recommend to you. Has anybody here ever heard of a book called Spare the Child? Anybody ever read the book Spare the Child? So a lot of my things I'm going to tell you today are based on the book. It's an excellent book, but it's not a book, it's a textbook, it's a sefer. You need to read it, you need to harv over it. It's written by a Yid named Yechiel Jacobson. He wrote it in Eretz Yisrael, but it's excellent. And he explains a lot of these things I'm going to be telling you today. Second of all, the second book I want to recommend to you is a book written by Rav Shimon Russell, which is called Raising a Loving Family. Anybody seen the book? Excellent book. I wrote a scum on the book. It's an excellent book. So in Spare the Child, Rav Chaim Jacobson says like this. He says, the Mesillas Yesharim writes in the Hakdama, in the introduction, Ha'adam le'nivra ela le'is'anag al Hashem. A person was created to find spiritual pleasure in Hashem. Our job as parents and chacham is to give children an awareness of tanag al Hashem, pleasure in Hashem. Learn how to achieve it. They should want it. And I'm adding on that they should do it even when we're not looking. So if we're going to be punitive and we're going to slap a kid with a punishment, you're talking, you lose your recess. You're talking more, you're getting detention. You're talking more, you're getting an assignment. That's going to hold the kid in check, maybe. But that's not going to bring him to Sanag al-Hashem. If anything, you read about all these children that get turned off and don't want to have anything to do with learning anymore, or Yiddishkeit. I consulted a school in Brooklyn. So I was in a school last week, and someone walks in. So I asked them a question that I ask a lot of people. Can you tell me about your elementary experience? How it was? So most people, when you ask a question, let me ask you, how many people here had a favorable elementary experience? You can raise your hands. If you enjoyed your elementary experience, you have fond memories of your elementary experience. Wow. That's it? Okay, how many people, you don't have to raise your hand if you don't want to. How many people?
There's a Honda Civic in the parking lot with the motor on. License plate DM57212. There's a Honda Civic with the motor on. Illinois license plate DM57212. Thank you.
So, how many people here, and again, you don't have to share if you don't want to, how many people had a less than positive elementary experience? Okay, I'm not gonna. I'd love to spend the time and ask you what happened, what your unpleasant memories are. Let me just tell you. I asked this guy, looked like a nice guy, and his face got flaming red. And he says to me, "My seventh grade Rebbe, Yimach Shemohi Vizichoy." Ooh, can you share what happened? He says, "Sure." Well, we learned Gemara, 7th grade, the Rebbe's rule was you had to keep your eyes glued to the Gemara the entire time. If he caught you not looking at the Gemara, he made you take your Gemara and stand in the corner and hold it open like this the whole time. Now this could be 2 hours. Now here you are standing in the corner, the Rebbe's facing the other way. So try doing this for 10 minutes. What are you going to do? I'm going to go like this. If the Rebbe turned around and sensed that you were doing that, he said, go to the Beis Medrash. This happened 30 years ago. Go to the Beis Medrash and get a Gemara that we'll learn. The same as Sechna, we'll not learn Bav Metzia. Get another Bav Metzia. Now, in the Beis Medrash then, there were these big, and the men probably remember these big, you know, MP chassis, weighed about 20 pounds, each volume. He had to hold both of them, one on top of the other, out until recess. He says, one day, I have five Gemaras. Okay? As a result, I hated Gemara from 7th grade and on until I had a tzaddik of a Rebbe in 12th grade that made me see why Gemara is good. But that Rebbe, I'm never going to be Michael. I had a class with Rebbeim last night. I asked the same question. One said to me, I didn't have a good experience. I was bullied. And he told me exactly the details of him being bullied, which grade it happened in, and which Rebbe stopped it. And I said to the Rebbe, I imagine that you're a champion now of children who get bullied. He said, absolutely. So our experiences during elementary school are going to stay with us the rest of our lives. But being punitive is not going to bring the child to the son of Gal Hashem. It doesn't mean you can never give a punishment. It doesn't mean you can never give a prize. But when you do give the prize or the punishment, you have to follow it up with chinuch right away. A lot of us, we give the punishment, okay, stay in for recess, and the kid is stymied, but we don't follow it up. We explain to him why we want you to do this. So the kid gets resentful, and nothing is accomplished. So today we're going to learn about part one, making the right preparation for class, part two, doing your homework right, and part three, staying in control the entire day using MPH, that's a Rosh Tevis. I doubt we'll get that far, but who knows. If I were to ask you now for a raise of hands, would you rather me try to cover as many slides as I can quickly, or would you rather me go in depth to the slides that I have? If you want choice one, one finger. If you want choice two, two fingers. Only two people voted so far. Okay, two, one. One, two. Okay, so it looks like two is... Okay. If I go too slow, you'll speed me up and tell me to go faster. Okay. So the outline is... I have to apologize. I sent a certain edition of this PowerPoint, but somehow I got mixed up. So you're going to see the Rebbe, but there's more Moros here than Rebbeim. So Moros, you're just as important as Rebbeim. I apologize. It says Rebbe. Wherever it says Rebbe, insert Moros also. So you're going to learn strategies for maintaining control before, during, after class. She'll be showing the futility of controlling talmidos with prizes and punishments. A deeper understanding why children misbehave and how to respond to them properly will be learned. So again, here are the three pitfalls. I'm going to say Rabbein now, not Moros, because Moros will never do this. The three pitfalls are Rabbein. So here's the first Rebbe. He says, he's get by Rebbe. He says, I can relax. I'm teaching for many years already. I don't need to prepare. I got my sheets many years ago from another Rebbe. You know, life is good. I've been teaching the same parrot, the Chumash, for 20 years. I know by heart. This Rebbe will come into class typically and say, okay, good morning, class. Where are we up to? Because he doesn't know. Achmar Latzan, where are we up to? What happened to your preparation the night before? What happened to your anticipatory set? Your hook of getting the Talmidim with the Talmidim is interested. So that's the first Rebbe. The second Rebbe is the perfectionist Rebbe. I had a Rebbe that worked for me once. This guy was an excellent Rebbe. But he was a perfectionist. He suffered from what we call OCD, I think. So he'd give a test. I remember he gave a test. And he asked, what does the word... Yiparei mean. When we show me Yiparei, V'hoyol Arba Roshim, and gracious. So the child will Yiparei, he will separate, but he had the temerity, in Hebrew that's chutzpah, to spell the word separate, S-E-P-E-R-A-T-E, instead of S-E-P-A-R-A-T-E. So he gave him 4 7/8 for the answer because he spelled the word wrong. Never mind that it's a Hebrew class. Like, are you crazy? What are you doing? I remember this Rebbe, I was a principal, I came with my wife to PTA for my son, and he says, Rebbe, Mr. Engel, I was dreading this PTA. I've been thinking about it. I don't know what to say. Chaim is a good boy, but you know, I called on him. One second. I called on him 476 times. I'm not exaggerating this. And he only had to play 73 out of 476 times. What's going to be with this kid? I don't know. Now, I'm not getting into PTA right now. I'm not getting into report cards. But you know that PTA is not meant to be a critique session, a criticism session. The parents are meant to come to PTA, and you sing the child's praises. You do not say anything bad about the child. What? What do you mean? But how's the parent going to know that there's something wrong with the kid? You make that call before. You call the parent up a month before, when you know the kid already, and you use the sandwich method. Racheli is such a nice girl. I love having my class. She's such a baal chesed. Whenever a girl needs something, she jumps up and gets it for her. You know, Racheli maybe can talk a little less than God, but I have to tell you what she did yesterday. So you use the sandwich method. You got your muzzer in, but the parent doesn't feel ungeblossen, bent out of shape that you said something. PTA is not for criticizing. The report cards are not for criticizing. The comments. The marks? Yes, the marks. You have to be honest. You can't inflate the marks. Or you could. Let's say you have a child who studied for 5 hours and got a 60 on the test. Don't give him a dollar. He studied for 5 hours. Give him an alpha minus modified. So the parent knows there's not a real mark, but it's an alpha minus. Because he worked so hard. Because effort is really what we care about. There's not a smooth about that now, but don't sit there and tell the parents what's going to be with this kid. Just by the way, this kid is now a Rishon LeZion Lake, but he'll be okay. But this is not a perfectionist Rebbe. Like, this is not what we want. We're all human. You know, whenever a child makes a mistake, there's a reason why he made a mistake. The Gemara says in Bava Metzia, a person doesn't sin for no reason. You think this kid comes to class every day and wants to make your life miserable? You're going to raise your hand. I understand. But no, he doesn't. No, she doesn't. She has what we call chayli nefesh. There's certain afflictions that we have today that we didn't have when we were growing up. We had them, we didn't know about it. Nobody is trying to get you. If the kid could behave, trust me, the kid would behave. And the third Rebbe is disconnected Rebbe. This Rebbe, he's busy working on his cover for his booklet, and he fails to notice that right under his nose, kids are bullying each other, kids are fighting with each other. He's all he cares about is finishing the curriculum. And I hear this from a lot of Rabbeim and Moros. Or my principal's after me, I have to finish the curriculum. I have to finish the five parshiyos. Never mind that the kids don't know it, but I finished. Yeah, you finished. But they didn't finish because they don't know it because you went so fast. So, you know, again, in Yiddishkeit, quality trumps quantity every single time. That's why I was happy when you raise two fingers now, because I can rush through this thing, but what's that going to be? Quality trumps quantity every single time. I don't care how much you learn. It can be one pasuk, but the child should know that pasuk well. We should be into teaching for mastery, not just teaching because we have a curriculum. Yeah.
There are my love memorizing sukkah.
Memorizing sukkah. I think it's great, but I don't think you should teach them to memorize. I think you should learn it so many times that they memorize it. So we had a program in the school that I was in. It was called Chazor Gedolah. This is a great thing. Basically, let's say you start teaching, you're teaching Kita Beis, and you start teaching Parshas Chayesorah, let's say. And your curriculum is Chayesorah through Vayeshev. So it's we're now in, at the end of February, and you're holding now. You did Chayesara Toldos in the middle of the AHA. On Sunday, or Monday, you know, school Sunday, Sunday or Monday, you start chazering, you start reviewing Parshas Chayesara. You say the pasuk, they say the taich, they say the translation, and you go. You do this for 10 minutes a day. So you start from the beginning of Chayesara. Let's say you get to Shlishi the first day, and then the second day you look from Shlishi to Chamishi, and the third day you look from Chamishi to the end. And you finish Chayesar, then you do Toldos. In about 2 weeks, you will get up to the place where you are now. And then you start again. What's going to happen is, the children are going to eventually memorize the Pesukim, because they're going to know it so well. When there was a Siyum, Anybody here believe in making a seam for finishing a parsha? Huh?
I do it in Hebrew class. I finish a section.
You make a seam?
Yep.
What does a seam look like? Can you tell us?
They have to review what they did.
Right.
You do it in a fun way.
Okay.
And everybody brings something to eat.
Okay. Anybody else? So, siyum lately have become, Rebbe comes to me, okay, we finished by yesterday, we'll make a siyum, okay? Okay, what are you doing? We're going to order pizza and fries. And I come from Canada, so poutine, if you know what that is, right? We're going to have poutine. And each kid's going to bring three things from home. Now, I'm not even getting into the sugar or not, the highs, I'm not getting into that, okay? But, again, what's the purpose of this whole thing? What do we want here? We want the children to master. Why do we want them to master? Because we want them to have Hanag al Hashem. We want them to have spiritual pleasure. When they learn so much, then the Hashem is going to feel it. So they told me, what do you mean? But the kid's got to have a geschmack. It's a big word today. The kid's got to have a geschmack. He's got to have a nice seam so he'll remember it. So you know what? If you don't mind, we're not going to bring anything from home. And we're not going to order pizza and fries and poutine. We're going to order a little cupcake. And we'll give each kid a cup of soda and zebu. Well, you know, these kids are not going to be motivated to learn anymore. I said, you know what? Invite me in. I'll let you see what happens. So he invites me in. I come in. And I start. I say a pasuk. V'luchai soda. It seems luchai soda. So I say, V'yotze ha'eved. Right after Chamishi. And then they say, T'akesu klezov u'smolais. And I do this. For most of the psukim chayesha, and most of the class knows the psukim because they've been reviewing it so much. After that, I say, "Wow, you guys are amazing! You know the psukim by heart. Incredible! We have a dance. We dance around the room. After we dance, everybody sits down, give out the food and the soda. I tell a nice story, and I give them praise for what they did." I guarantee you, they're going to remember the seam much more this way than fresting on the pizza and fries and the three things that they brought from home. So again, we have to ask ourselves, why are we doing things? We're doing things with the Hanag al Hashem. So this is the Yumora. Now we can switch to the Moras. Okay, so you're going to come every single day. You're going to be prepared, relaxed, and approachable. Even whatever's going on at home. So I was giving this class in Houston. Rebbe raises his hand and says, yeah, that's very nice. It's very, very nice. But you know, let's be real, okay? 1 o'clock in the morning, my 9-year-old woke me up. She couldn't sleep. So I was up for an hour. And then 5 in the morning, the baby woke up and I felt bad for her, so I got up. How do you expect me to be relaxed, prepared, and approachable? So I said, Rebbe, there's two ways. Either, you know, we're all actors and actresses, aren't we? We're all on the stage, we're all acting. So, let's face it, we've all come to school and we're going through such unimaginable things going on in our lives. We put it all aside. You know, right before this class, I had to call a boy that was in my school where I was last year. He just lost his father. I had to speak to him, speak to his mother, and I have to come to the class and teach like nothing happened. So we're all actors and actresses. So put on a brave face and a good show. And they'll never know. Or, you can go to the gas station. I passed the mobile on the way there. Go to the front counter. There's something called a 5-hour energy drink. I take it all the time. When I'm driving, I want to fall asleep. Try that one time. It's unbelievable. Your eyes are wide open. And you are ready to go. Okay. Okay, making the right preparation for class. So, we're going to run through the topics now quickly because we're going to go to the Baruch. So, Elo is a chedesh of assessments. We want you to be proactive in your preparation. We want you to have proper preparation. We want you to do Rabbi Hillmandel's Dor HaShemesh, Rabbi Kramer's 4 H's, NWR, which stands for No Wiggle Room, moving problem from child to child from problem. The goals of teaching, maybe giving a daily quiz, teaching new Chaimer, qualities of great Rabbeim, or great Moros, shade in the shed or mifletzet b'machzan, and avoiding the 3 F's. Those are the topics we're going to cover in the first section here. I'm sorry about the wrapping here; it didn't seem to wrap well. So I know it's Adar Aleph now.
and the year is well underway. Yet anybody in your class that doesn't seem to have basic skills, doesn't seem to know basic things, could you raise your hand if anybody in your class that doesn't seem to know basic skills? They don't know the 12, they don't know the 12 Shavuotim, they don't know the months of the year, they don't know some of the other raising your hand? Okay, so what do we do about it? What do we do about it? I can't stop my class teaching kid Alves, can I? What should I do? So in Elul, that is your time to see what your children know. You have to give them a series of assessments. Which, if you want, I can give you on how assessments. I'm sure you can get your hands on an assessment. And you test them. Write all the letters. You know, I worked for the consortium of Jewish day schools. And they have a thing called a JSAT. I don't know if you've ever heard of it before. It's for 5th grade and 8th grade. It's a wonderful assessment to see what these kids know. If you're teaching 3rd or 4th grade, 5th grade, teaching 7th or 8th, it's great. They take a test, we mark it, we send it back, you see a comprehensive outline of what they know. It's wonderful. So you have to assess them. You have to see what do they know. Now, it's not too late. Here we are in Adar Aleph. Start assessing your Talmid guys. See what they know. Do they know the months of the year? Do they know the Yud Beis Shvatim? Do they know these basics? Some of these kids do not know all the Rashi letters, and when they say a Rashi, they struggle. If it would be me, if I had a child in my class that couldn't read, I would absolve him from all homework and get him help in Kriya. We know that Kriya is, and Mrs. Rosenbaum sitting in the back there, she can tell you all about it. She's a Kriya expert. Kriya is a basic. So don't give the kid Chumash homework and Gemara homework. Let the child master Kriya. It takes three months, but we have to help him. So it's very good to do this. You can do this now also, though. You can do it even now. Okay, Rufu Karim Lamaka, being proactive. So we all, even though not all of us raised our hands, we all have a couple of kids in the class who have difficulty. You know, I live in Lakewood now, and I speak to Rabbein, who have 30 or 31 kids in their class somewhere. Does anybody here have 30 kids in their class? How many do you have?
Well, when I was in Israel, I had
38. Oh, wow, 38. Okay, but so, does anybody have 25 kids in their class? 28? How do you do it? It must be unbelievable, but it's hard to meet 28 children. I speak to Rabbi Abel Lakewood, and I ask them on average. You have a class of 30. How many children in your class are mufka, meaning they don't know what's happening? And they tell me, about 5 or 6. And they say, it's so nonchalant. 5 or 6? 5 or 6 kids are coming to school every day and sitting there and not know what's happening. You can cry. What are we doing? What's going to be with these kids when they get older? So, these kids come to school and they have nothing to do because they don't understand learning. So, let's be proactive. Come early to school if that's possible. Now, some of you have line up outside. Raise your hand if you have line up outside. Anybody have line up outside with the whole school lined up or in the gym or whatever? Anybody have that? No? Oh, you have that? You have that, okay. Before line up, it's a time to speak to your students. Ask them 5 questions. Good morning, how are you? What time did you actually fall asleep last night? What time did you go to bed? Because I'm going to read in bed, I'm going to do this and that. What time did you actually fall asleep last night? Did you eat breakfast? Do you have snack? And are you ready to learn this morning? If you ask those 5 questions, invariably you're going to hear, most kids, by the way, don't eat breakfast. Most kids, they say, what's their idea of breakfast? Oh, I had a cereal bar, I had a yogurt. Kid can't learn when he's hungry. Well, I went to sleep last night at 12 o'clock. Kid can't learn when he's tired. So if you know before school starts, before class starts, that this kid didn't eat, if you ask me, you live in Chicago, you don't live in, I go to Norfolk, Virginia. There's nothing, there's no store even. You have milk here, you have cereal. I'd buy some good sugar cereal like Fruit Loops or Fruity Pebbles, make sure the kid eats. Give them a bowl in the morning. You won't hear peep all day. Try it. I'm telling you it works. Okay. Now, You're teaching the class.
Your period is 2 hours. A lot of teachers in Rabbein, what do? They give a break in the middle. But the break is supposed to be 5 minutes, but it ends up being 25 minutes sometimes. So you want to avoid that. We don't want to stop the momentum of learning. So what do? When the learning is going well, it means the kids are into it and they're learning and they're cracking away, all of a sudden we start singing. Now, you can't just do this yesh me'ayin. You have to prepare a song list of songs you can go to. At the beginning of the year, you can do this song, teach them certain songs, and all of a sudden, when the learning's going great, you start singing. Now, the kids are happy to sing because continue to break makes it safer. They're happy, with a break. You sing, they get into it, you sing for about 4 minutes, and then you get back into the line. Another great thing, Maisias, stories. Anybody here ever hear of Marcus Lehman? You gotta be a certain age. Look at that. Alright? You gotta be a certain age. Look how many people didn't raise their hand. Marcus Lehman was the only thing that I had growing up. Besides Tops and Tails. Remember Tops and Tails? Olamedo, which came once a month or whatever, right? Cook away once a month. Marcus Lehman wrote books. Anybody know a Marcus Lehman book? Yeah, go ahead. Akiva. Oh, you picked an interesting one. Okay. Anybody else? What's that? Count the Kushi, Busted Out of the Five Novelettes, Unpaid Ransom, Out of the Depths, the Adopted Princess. Remember these books? Family Aguilar, Rabbi Yosselman of Rosheim, Del Monte. These are all outstanding stories. You tell the story out of the depths. You have the kids riveted to their seats, and you always stop the story at the good part. So he said, and the shark came. Okay, let's go. Oh, come on, Rebbe. You have them. It's good. You say the story when learning is going well. You tell the story. You get back into learning. What happens is, because you did it when the learning was going well, you're able to get back. If you wait until the learning is going south, it's not going to work. Another thing you can do is, skip to the bottom one, brain gym. Stand up. Again, the learning is going well. Stand up. Do the treadmill. You run up and down on the spot. So whenever you do this, you always start off very small. So you have to give them a lot of prep. I want you to have a little break. I want to do a little exercise, but it can't get out of hand. So we're going to run up and down. Always say an odd number and always have a decimal. So we're going to run up and down for 7.3 seconds. It's exciting when you say that. You say, we're going to do it for 10 seconds. 7.3 seconds, okay. And they do it. Okay, now, the biggest fear that Morrow's telling me is, and Levain telling me is, how am I going to get them back? Did anybody here ever hear of Larry Thompson? Larry Thompson, you ever been to Chicago yet? Okay, hasn't been? Larry Thompson is one of the, you ever hear of Rick LaVoy? Yeah. LaVoy, the chips are down, Rick LaVoy, right? Larry Thompson is a new guy now. He's great. Larry Thompson taught me a very, very special tool when you want to get quiet. I go downstairs to the gym. School starts at 8:45. And we had the kids supervising the gym, but two other kids playing dodgeball. Dodgeball is a great game to play for children. You know why? Because when you get out, you're still in. Because you play, you're in the middle, and they shoot the ball, and they get you out. You go to the end, you become a killer. So you're always playing the game. So the kids, especially boys, tend to take the ball and shoot it like they're at an off-rope trying to get the customer in the face, right? They whip it. I come into the gym, and I go like this. I raise my hand. And I taught them that when I raise my hand, you raise your hand and stop talking. Somehow, the dual action of me raising my hand and them raising their hand, get quiet in 3 seconds. So within 7 seconds, I had everybody stop playing. The boy had the ball, want to shoot it. He just dropped the ball, get it to line, and we can start lining. You can utilize this tool in class. You can utilize this tool when you're outside. You take them on a trip. You don't want to start screaming. A lot of Rabbeim and Moros, what do? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I heard one Rabbi say 0. What you're doing is you're telling the children, you can talk for another 5 seconds. Why do you want that for? You want quiet. You should get quiet that second. Raise your hand. So when you finish the exercise, you raise your hand.
And they all raise their hand and start talking. Now, this is good because, let's say my back is to a student. So I'm going like this. He doesn't see me raising hand, but he sees somebody else raising their hand and not talk. He does the same thing. So the brain gym could be the jump, the treadmill. It could be jumping jacks if you're brave. Again, if you prep the kids beforehand. You know, I really want to do a special exercise thing. I want to do jumping jacks. Yeah, come on, let's do jumping jacks. If I need to know that we're going to be able to get... Yeah, we can do it. So you see, if they do it, start off small and then start increasing. One Rebbe I know, the Simon says, does it for like... But it was these breaks are all 2-minute breaks, 3-minute breaks. And the desk is an ornament. When you're teaching, I can't walk around here because I don't have room. But when you're teaching, kids are going to get bored and kids are going to start making trouble. I don't know how many people in this room, let's say 60 people in this room. When you listen to someone speaking, it's boring. It's boring. It's hard to listen to someone else speaking. So that's why I have these slides and some funny ones maybe so you'll laugh and tell some stories, but you know, you're here, you're motivated to be here. And you have to be here. I don't want to get into that, but kids don't want to be in the class. They'd rather be playing. So let's put ourselves in their shoes. They get bored. If my desk is an ornament, like Rabbi Orlowick says, and I walk around, and I see a girl about to... She's cutting up some paper. I can go over there and put my hand here and say, no, I'm here. Don't do it.
So this Rebbe I was telling you about before in Las Vegas, he was telling me he's a soft guy. And he said, I'll give you an example. I was teaching a Gemara, and I see a boy making a paper airplane. So I walked over to the boy and I said, Yossi, please don't shoot that plane. A second later, Yossi shoots the plane. That's, what are you supposed to do? Like, right, the kid defied me to my face. So I said to the kid, Yossi, I just told you not to do it. You know what the kid said? Rebbe, you told me not to shoot a plane. You never said I can't shoot a paper airplane. So what do you do with such a kid? I said, you know, it's easy for me to say now because you're asking me. What would I do? Oh, did you hear that? What a dick. Wow. Playing the paper airplane, that's exactly what we're learning in the Gemara. When these kids misbehave, they want to derail you. They want you to get out, they want attention. If you seamlessly keep going, they'll know to do themselves. Okay. Okay, proper planning before the year starts. How many people here had a seating plan before the kids came in? Well, not a lot of people. Basically, you're telling me that the girls come into class, it's a free-for-all, they pick wherever they want to sit, and they sit. And then, a couple days later, you see chatty girls, so you make wholesale changes. Right? Now, how do the girls feel about that? They want to sit next to their friends. He said, what's it? I'm the teacher and you're talking. Sorry, why do that for? Why do that?
Speak to the teacher last year. Speak to the Rebbe last year. Speak to the English teacher last year. Very good resource. Find out what, who should not sit next to who. Speak to the principal. And make a seating plan or a locker plan before school starts. They come in and their name is on the desk.
Besides not having to deal with this in a couple of days, it sets a tone, I'm in charge. You do as I say.
Why should the kid have to be resentful that you're changing his seat? So the instructions are waiting for them on the board. Again, I'm sorry I didn't wrap, but you see here, 8:30 to 9 is davening, the Chumash 9 to 9:18, then Chazor Gedoyla, then there's Mishnayis, and then there's Shas Milim, and then there's Mishnayis Baal Peh. Now, after each thing that you do, check. You finish? Check. Oh, we did this? Check. At the end of the day, you make what's called a sikkum. You summarize what you did. You ever have your children coming home from school? Say, Moishi, what'd you learn today? And what does the kid say? Oh, nothing. Right? If the Rebbe would make a sikkum a summary before, Moshe would remember what he learned. You ever go to Pesach Krohn's Joshua? You ever Pesach Krohn speak? He speaks beautifully. At the end of what does he say? He chazes over everything. And then you walk out, you actually remember what he said. It's a very, very good idea. Okay, so here is Rabbi Hillel Mandel. Here is Hillel Mandel. He's a big Chanuch, a mentor of mine, and he came up with Dor HaShemes, which is we'd rather give children the excitement of discovery rather than spoofy. So again, if we're teaching because we have to finish the curriculum because our principal's not going to speak to us, we're not going to have time to facilitate. We're just going to ram the information down their throats because we have to finish. But if we want the child, this Amagal Hashem, we want the child to be excited about learning, we're going to facilitate. What does that mean? We're going to let the child figure it out instead of us telling it. So, I have the word Vo'es Hanan El Hashem. What does that mean? And I'm going to say to the kids, I don't know. You figure it out. Dor HaShemes. First of all, let's talk about the dictum of the word. Are we all Hebrew teachers here? We're not? Some English teachers here?
Yes.
I apologize. Just give me an example. I'm sorry. Okay. So we're gonna ask for the dictum. Is the word Vos Hanan, is it Zohar, is it a Kaver, is it Rabim, is it Yachid? Is it a verb, is it a noun? Can't figure out, okay, look in Rashi. That's a place to look. Rashi, you don't understand Rashi? Okay, look at the Shai. What's the Shai? Ches Nun Nun. Okay. What is that? Oh, favor, okay. My favorite Hashem? Okay, what does Unklus say? Look at Unklus. A lot of times Unklus says a word in Aramaic that's similar to a Hebrew word. Look at the Taimi and Mikra. Look at the Trop. You can look at the Trop, you can figure out. I mean, not for ladies, but you can look at the Trop and see how to group the words. And finally, the one we all use, the Teichon. What's the context? What's going on here? What are we talking about? So instead of us telling the child the answer, it's much better when the child figures it out himself. Any of you learn with chavrusa with somebody else? I know for ladies not as relevant as for men, but you learn with chavrusa. Would you rather learn with a chavrusa that's your speed, or would you rather learn with someone much smarter than you and tell you all the answers? If it's the first way, raise one finger. The second way, raise two. Is that one? You'd rather live with a guy that's your speed. Oh, okay, yeah. Anybody say two? Maybe in school when you had to study for a test, you wanted to get the smartest girl and she would help you out. But now when I'm learning, I want to contribute to the lesson. I don't want to be told. It's the same with kids. They're not interested in hearing your drasha. They want to figure it out themselves. And when the kid gets the answer, say, wow, do you hear Sarah said? What an answer. You write on the board, this is Sarah's answer. That's going to get the kid to want to hear more. So let's facilitate rather than spoon feed. Those of you who learn Navi, there was a king whose name was Yoyash. Without going into the whole thing, his grandmother, Asaya, decided she wants to be the queen. She poisoned all the Zerah HaMelucha, all the crown princes and everybody. She poisoned them all because she wants to be the queen. So Yoyash was a baby, and they concealed Yoyash in the Kodesh HaKadoshim for 6 years with his nursemaid. After 6 years, they organized a revolt, they killed Asaya, and they made Yoyash the king. And as long as Yoyash's Rebbe, Yoyada HaKadoshim, was alive,